Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's thank God for the great people in our lives. And I'm going to invite Will, and I'm going to invite AB to come up and join me. And we're going to have a little bit of a moment around a panel just sharing about fatherhood, sharing about God's idea of fatherhood, and it's going to be an awesome moment. So come on, can we put our hands together? The team are going to set a few things up.
Great morning so far already, hasn't it? Been so very good. We are looking forward to the conversation. Thanks, Adrian. Thank you, Philippe. Look at this. I ordered coffee for everyone, for all of us. Because what's a good conversation without a little coffee? How good. Can we give the band a hand?
I feel very small.
These are very, very small stools, Pastor Craig.
Someone, we are men. We can do this.
Someone stitched us up because I definitely put the taller stools there. Maybe it was AB. I think that stool
if we could get two of the taller stools, AB's just, fine. He's just all good. Two. He looks great.
He's all good.
But my insecurity just went through the roof. I'm going to read that letter to myself after this.
Oh, look, here it comes.
Oh, come on, Sarah, the wonderful Sarah.
Oh, how good. Someone did stitch us up, didn't they?
Is there anything this amazing lady can't do? My gosh.
Incredible. Okay, let's try this.
That's brilliant.
Craig, are you ready?
Thank you so much, Sarah. That's really good.
I'm ready for the moment to sit down.
Here we go.
Could I still have two of those?
Much better.
That feels good.
There's hecklers today, even.
Wow. Quiet in the cheap seats.
How good. Well, as you can see, we like to have a lot of fun here at Life, and every Sunday, in fact, we do have a lot of fun, but today is especially that, because it is Father's Day, and one great characteristic of fathers is a bit of fun, a bit of dad jokes.
Yes.
Anyone love a dad joke? Who thinks they're really good at dad jokes? Do you notice it's all just guys, dads putting their hands up? No one else.
Yeah.
I love a good dad joke. I'm an absolute sucker for a dad joke. Do you guys have any that are like your go-tos?
I'll leave it with Craig.
Oh, thank you. I actually, we had this morning, Nadia was saying we had a whole bunch of firefighters and everything around, and it was funny, I met one, and I knew he was Mexican because his son's name was Jose. Oh, boom, boom. Philippe, love you. Now, this is one that men really want to know, is why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road?
Why?
Because it was stuck in a crack.
Hey. That's a classic. That is a classic.
Yeah, I have two sons. Thank you.
I'll go even lower, but...
oh, great.
My last job, I was collecting leaves, and I was raking it in.
Boom. All right.
That's good. Singing in the shower is a lot of fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it becomes a soap opera.
That's so good.
That's even lower.
Oh, it's good. One more. Why do seagulls fly over the ocean? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be called bagels. Pastor Craig hasn't quite sunk in
yet. I actually didn't hear the start of it. Sorry.
Anyway, it's all good. Well, why don't you guys introduce yourself for those that don't know you? Obviously, we know your names now, which is great. But dad's granddad?
Oh.
Hey. Yeah, tell us about your families, your kids, all that kind of stuff. That'd be great.
Yeah, awesome. So, yeah, Craig is my name, and dad jokes is my game. I am really, really blessed to be married to Nadia, the most wonderful woman in the world, and also have three great, just incredible kids who are the biggest blessing in my life. Zion, who's 14, Hope, who is 11, and Ezekiel, who is 5. And so, that's us.
Amazing.
Awesome. My name is Andrew, and I'm very grateful to be married to the one and only Gina. Just my, I suppose, my background. My mum is from Samoa, Lea Marmia. It's a real honour to represent my mum. My dad's basically the white version of me. He's Scottish. So I've got a really lovely mix. I've got, obviously, three sisters. But my family, my kids, Samuel, he's the eldest, he's 24. Stella is 23. And Solomona is 17. And like Will mentioned, Sam and Grace have given Gina and I a beautiful daughter, Evangeline, 6 weeks old. So, really excited.
Amazing.
Fittest, youngest looking granddad I've ever seen. Amazing.
Thank you,
my name is Will, and I want to be like you one day, Adrian. Yeah.
That was so clear.
My name's Will, and I'm married to Hannah, and we have two incredible kids. I've got a five, almost six-year-old boy named Kaiser, awesome. And a three-year-old named Brooklyn, and we are done. We're good. We've got our two, our boy and our girl, and we're very blessed, and yeah, which is cool. So we're good from that. But so I think it's been said amazingly already from both Pastor Nadia and Pastor Craig, just our heart as life around Father's Day, and that we want to honour all men. That this is a day where we see that there is, we know that there is a significance that men play, and that is directed from God.
Yep.
That is not by chance. God has created a certain way of life that works, and we acknowledge that, and we think it's worth acknowledging and having a conversation around. But also our heart is that anyone here today, whether you're a dad, whether you're a mom, you're single, you're young, you're older, our prayer is that you would get something out of today, that you would learn about God's heart. You'd learn about who God is, that He loves us, that His Father's heart is for us, and that you would walk away blessed and encouraged, knowing that our Father in heaven is always caring about us, always thinking about us, and always knows us. And so we're going to have a bit of a conversation about what it looks like, what the Father's heart looks like, what fatherhood looks like from God, but then also like a few questions we have that I really like to pull out of Pastor Craig and AB as well today, and just kind of explore around that. So the first one that we're really going to tackle into is this question that says, what does God's design of fatherhood look like? And I think it's really important, no matter what we're talking about when it comes to God, when it comes to our Christianity, that we start from a basis of understanding God's word, and then we interpret what we experience. Then we interpret our feelings. Then we interpret all that kind of thing, rather than starting with what the world says and what we feel and what we experience and then interpreting God's word. I reckon it's amazing to start with God's word and use that as a foundation to then experience from there. And one of the amazing characteristics of God is that He is a Father. It says in Isaiah 64:7, "Yet, Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay and You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand." What an encouragement this morning. You know, all through the Bible, we see this characteristic of God, that He is our Father. We see Jesus come on earth and talk constantly about His Father in heaven who is there for Him. And I just, a couple of characteristics that I love about God that I use and that I take from that I thought would just be good to start us with is that God is constant.
Yes.
He is always there. Malachi 3:6 and Hebrews 13:8 both talk about that God does not change.
Yeah.
Talks about that He is the same yesterday, He is the same today, and He is the same forevermore. And I'm forever grateful for that. I love this line. Fathering does not have an expiry date.
It's brilliant.
Wow, let's take that in for a second. Fathering does not have an expiry date. The other next characteristic I had was that He is slow to anger and abounding in love. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." That's something I want to learn to be as a dad. That's a design that I want to learn to be more and more. The next one is that He is true to His promises. Psalm 148:13, "The Lord is faithful to all of His promises and loving toward all He has made." Next one is that He leads His people. I'm grateful that God leads me.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that He teaches me how to lead my family as well. He teaches me how to do that. All through the Bible, we see God lead His people. Think about the Israelites back in the day. They were in the desert. He gave them so that they had no chance of getting it wrong. A pillar of fire by night that they could follow, and a pillar of cloud by day that they could follow. He led His people. When they asked for His leading, they did that. He continues to lead us today. I think about decisions I've made in my own life, and He's led me over and over again, hearing His word, reading His word. Think about us as a church. it's a miracle what we're about to step into in Sim Street. He's leading us into the next stage of this amazing church as well. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is leading us. Beautiful. The last one I thought of is that He provides. Yeah. He is a good provider. He is a provider. Think about the story of the five loaves and the two fish. He provided that day for all those people that were there. When the Israelites were in the desert and they said they're thirsty, He provided water. When they said they're hungry, He put manna every night, every morning they could go pick it up. He is a good provider. I've experienced it in my life,
so
that
good.
He is a good provider. It's so cool that it gives me so much confidence as a dad to know that I can read His word, I can experience my relationship with God, and then I can let that influence the way that I father as well.
So great.
And I just thought, Pastor Greg, it'd be awesome if you could share a little bit about from your point of view, God's design of fatherhood. What does that look like for you? How have you interpreted that into your own way of fathering as well?
Absolutely. Come on, wasn't that great what we were sharing, and just so many great truths and nuggets there. And yeah, I'd say that distinctive unconditional love. You know, that I remember holding Zion, and in those first few weeks and months, they're messy, right? There's vomit everywhere, there's poo everywhere, there's constant crying and all that kind of stuff. But there was nothing that could ever take your love. There was nothing that He could do. There was no demand, there was no time, there was no consistency of need that would ever stop you unconditionally loving, unconditionally desiring to be with them, unconditionally desiring to provide. And I love that God is loving. Right, and sometimes I think that in my own life, there's times where I know I go, man, that's disappointing towards God. Oh, He wouldn't be pleased with me. And now there might be things in my life that He's not pleased with what I'm doing, but that doesn't stop Him being pleased with me. And I think that's a really important thing, because when you become a father, and I know not everyone has had that opportunity yet or the season of life you're in, but when you have someone that you've connected your heart to, you realize, yeah, there's things that my children do that can turn up the temperature in the room, but that doesn't stop the unconditional love. And in that unconditional love, I think the significant thing God shows us is that He is our provider and He is our protector. And the role of a great, incredible, mantle that God places upon us as men is to love unconditionally and is to protect and is to provide. And sometimes when we hear provision, we think that's the biggest check in the household. That's not what that means. And we can be so insecurity or inferiority around that. But no, I believe as a father, as a loving husband, as a mate to those around me, my ability to provide is to provide the ability to speak life into people's worlds, to be able to protect them from things that want to rob what God has placed on their life. Because who knows, anyone wants to take God's identity off people, but as a provider, we've got to keep putting God's identity back on people. I'm not counting on my school system to raise my kids. I'm not letting technology raise my 14-year-old son. As a protector, I'm going to protect him from those things that would want to take off God's purpose, and I'm going to keep enabling a provision of words of encouragement, words of challenge, words of authority, words of don't do that, do that. You know, most of the things sometimes we say as parents is no, and we say it because we love them, right? Not because we don't want the best for them. And I think as parents sometimes, and as fathers, the goal is to be strong. And we have a strong God, and we sometimes want Him to bend His will and His ways because we see it differently and we want it better. But God loves us unconditionally, that He says, I won't bend it because I know what's best for you. And so I believe that. And then I also believe that God has designed men and women to be the best teammates they could ever be. And if there's anything at the moment I sense around culture, it's that they want to, if you applaud one, it's almost like you must be denying the other. There's a comparison going on. And I'm just going to say, not in this church, not in our families, not in our friendships, not in our workplaces. To honor men isn't to devalue women, and to champion women isn't to say, oh, there's obviously no role for men. No, man alone, we are not good.
Hopeless.
So God designed women. Why? So then together there would be a team. There would be a beautiful relationship of giving and sacrifice and loving and serving of others, that we're able to then experience that Father's heart to us within each other, but then also step forward. But men, there's a responsibility in this season to stand up. There's a sensibility, without being insecure or trying to dominate, to stand in the position you're called to stand in. And let's just keep leading society forward rather than just watching things go on around us. And it starts in our home. Is that all right?
Unreal.
Awesome. Okay.
So love good.
It. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So cool. So the next question we wanted to explore was, what does real strength look like? And again, we want to look to the Bible, right? And we want to take what we can. But, AB, I read in the Bible about a guy named Samson, and he had long hair, and that gave him strength. So I'm thinking straight away, I've got no hope, right?
Come on.
But that's obviously, that was a specific moment, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's one way we look at strength. In our society today, we look at strength in so many different ways. Yeah. And depending on what we've experienced in our upbringing, in our relationships around us, we view strength differently as well. But I'd love to, you're a big, strong man, like I said before. You know, I'm your biggest fan. But like for you, what is real strength? Because again, like I say, we read about, you know, the physical strength, but then also we read in the Bible, Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah. I don't think it's talking about biceps at that point. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So to you, AB, what does real strength look like? And how have you seen that, you know, in your relationships play out? And as you've got to know God as well, how that has changed?
Yeah, I think really great question. I think strength, as we see it, is different from what God sees it. Mm-hmm. And for me, I know that, you know, what I grew up with a dad who was an alcoholic, wasn't in my life, you know, from a young child. Mm-hmm. Came back when I was a teenage, but obviously the hurt was there. Mm-hmm. So for me, seeing my dad parent wasn't the best, you know, but I saw it as that's, what I, you know, I'll probably model as I get older, as a young kid. So, for me, strength, and you know, seeing the model as a young child, dad was controlling. You know, dad was, you know, that dad that never let you say anything. It was his way or the highway. So for me, you know, going into my marriage with Gina, Gina's dad, he was. They could have conversations and. You know, they'd walk away and go, "We love you." And I was like, wow, that never happened in our house. You know, it was, mate, get to your room or, you know, you're in trouble. So for me, I think I had to learn what strength was. Yeah. And it's, for me growing up, you know, and obviously having three teenage kids, you need a lot of strength, a lot of God strength, but a lot of fun too. And I think for me, that was the learning opportunity that I'd seen that was mirrored with Gina and her dad. It was a learning strength of people can have a say. You know, when things, like Craig mentioned about things, you know, that things can heat up sometimes and keeping it real. But the great thing is that I can let go of my pride, humility, and go, you know, we still love each other. You know, and something in our house that we've always... you know, always kept strong to is you never leave the home when you're upset.
Beautiful.
Or you never go to bed
so good.
Upset. Yeah. You know, we can say we love you. And that's something that I know for me, with my kids, that's been something that, you know, I've had to learn, you know, because what I saw as strength was completely different to, you know, having God in the mix there.
That's an incredible example of strength that you would put that, you know, not a rule, but an expectation in your household that this is how we operate.
Yes.
That is strength.
Yeah.
That is strength to be able to do that. And AB, following on from that, you do a lot of work with, you know, younger men and mentoring and all that kind of stuff that maybe aren't churched as well. What do you see as their biggest challenge when it comes to this idea of strength? Because you grow up and when you're young, it's about going to the gym and it's about doing these kind of things. And then they obviously are starting to explore that emotional strength. What's the biggest challenge and hurdle that you've seen people have to overcome with that?
Yeah, it's a real honor to, you know, work with young men because you have the opportunity to not tell them, but, you know, live out, you know, strength.
Yes.
And I think, you know, you can go to the gym and lift, you know, X amount of weights, but underneath a lot of these young men, are mummy boys. I'm one of them. And I think, you know, that's something that society says, this is how you need to look, or this is the way that society says you're successful if you do this, X, Y, and Z. So for me, it's just modeling, it's walking the journey. And I think I had a lot of people that walked the journey with me. So it's so refreshing that, you know, an opportunity, and God's given us gifts to journey with young men, women, but just spending time, you know, because I think society, like I mentioned, society will tell us what's the right way, and it's false hope, you know. They put their value in these things and they're gone. So, yeah, just look, yeah. Basically journeying with them, you know, spending time,
yeah.
And just making sure that they know who they are.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Bible says that God looks at the inward, not at the outside, right?
Yeah.
And that's what God cares about. What about you, Pastor Craig? Yeah, on that. And
yeah, totally.
What real strength looks like.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd ask my kids. And Easy at 5 said, you have a lot of power in your muscles. You lift up couches and tables.
Come on.
You can lift the whole world. I thought that was quite encouraging, to be honest. Hope, who's 11, said, caring for your children, trusting in God, being strong in tough times like when Grandma died, listening to God all the time. Zion, who's 14, he said, being able to lead the home, loving God, being able to admit when you are wrong and apologizing to us, saying your kids are amazing even when they do things really average. That's pretty awesome. Do you want to hear what Nadia said?
Yeah.
Knowing when your wife is right. Which is constant. All the time. Like the dawning of a new... She just carries on and on and on. It's a truth that never changes. Now, I think, you know, to be honest, the closer we get to God, the more we realize we need Him. And I think we want to project that we've got things in control, that we can manage everything, that we know how to secure everything, but really, we're only as secure as our security in Him. We're only as strong as we are in Him. We're only able to navigate the unknown as much as we are in Him. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've wanted to do in my life, is just go, well, God, I just keep giving myself imperfections at all to You. And I'd say the second thing which we need in all of us is to learn to take responsibility. You know, responsibility is huge. There's so many people who get a really tough start. So many people walked into this room maybe for the very first time, and the truth is your life. It's challenging. But the best thing you can do is take responsibility. Don't offload it like, I'm going to stay like this because it was done to me. You know, the Bible actually talks about it, how there's a reality that that God actually comes to set captives free. And He also talks about it. He wants to release people from prison. You know, there's some prison, and being a prisoner and a captive are two different things. A prisoner is someone who's done something wrong, so therefore they go to prison acquitted as guilty. A captive is somebody who's actually been taken captive. Somebody else has locked them up without any desire or any outworking of their own. And I just believe that we need to raise this temperature of going, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm not going to be taken captive and just stay captive. I'm not just going to be a prisoner because of my own doing, but then stay a prisoner. I'm going to take responsibility. And I love that in God, there's always a new day. There's always a fresh start. There's always in a church family someone around you who wants to walk with you, wants to help you, wants to champion your marriage, wants to champion you as a young person growing up. One of the greatest blessings I have is being a part of a church family. I got a photo, but is moments that like this here that's on the screen. Moments like this, where we sit at the honey hole on the Murray River, and my son sits with another man from church. And they sit there and they yarn and they joke and they laugh as they put their rods in the water. I want to be someone who raises my family in church where I'm not the only role model, but they have other role models around them that they can look up to, and they go, gosh, if I could be like Danny, if I could be like Philippe, if I could be like Kane, if I could be like Will, if I could have that, if I could see that, man, if I could have arms like AB, if I could have the ability for a life that matters for so many other lives like AB. And I can't encourage this enough. That doesn't come by just hoping it happens. It comes from responsibility. And God took responsibility. Man fell short. We're born into sin. It's our fault. We rejected God. But because his heart, his loving Father heart towards us is that we would know him personally. He didn't go and go, oh, well, they made themselves prisoners to their own wrongdoings and their own failings and their own mistakes. No, he says, I'll take responsibility. A loving father, a loving person knows what it is to take responsibility. Have you ever had a loved sibling that when you're in trouble, they step up and say, it was my fault? God literally stepped up and he says, I'll take it like it was my fault. I'll nail myself to the cross as if it was my fault. I'll put myself there and pay the price so that these ones I love don't have to. You know, when I became a dad, one of the greatest things I realized is this: I will lay my life down for my kids. And I tell my daughter all the time, I'll go to prison for you. She knows it to be true. And I said, don't worry, when I go, Zion's up next. And when he goes, easy's on his way, you know? But not in all seriousness, that I completely lost what I was going to say because I was talking about going to prison for my daughter. What was I saying before that? Responsibility. So God took responsibility. He took responsibility. This is it. That's what I was saying. I'd lay my life down for my kids. That's how much I have for them. Catch this. How much love would it take for AB to have for you if he was to take Evangeline and say, I'll lay down Evangeline so I get access to you? Like, that's a love that I actually struggle to put my head around. I love you that much, I'm willing to lay my son down. Why? Because I'm going to take responsibility so that if there's anything that would be in their lives that would separate us, then my child will make a way so that we can have the freedom of relationship, that we could know each other, that we could have, that every person could experience the forgiveness of sins, to be set free and to be made whole, that every single person wouldn't carry a life of regret and shame and guilt, but they would realize the price was already paid. Why? Because we have a loving Father that took responsibility. And in that, his son did not just die, but he rose again to life, triumphant over death and the grave. And the good news of the gospel, the good news of this day is that whoever believes, whoever just chooses to say, God, I want to receive that love, that means as they open their heart and they believe in him, the truth is his love will meet you where you are, and it'll literally secure the reality of your past being washed away and you get a brand new beginning. That anyone, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We would love a moment before we close today to be able to pray the most important prayer, the most significant prayer with every person in this room, everyone joining us online. We'd love to pray a prayer that in this moment you could take responsibility. Maybe you can't take responsibility for how you got here today, but you can take a responsibility from what happens from this moment. You no longer have to live in guilt. You no longer have to live under condemnation. If you just take a moment and say, I'm going to believe in Jesus, I tell you what, he'll wash away, he'll remove the past, and you'll get a brand new beginning in this moment. You'll walk forward from this day with him, knowing that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You'll know a peace that surpasses understanding, and you'll realize that there's actually a great purpose and a great destiny on your life. With every eye closed but every heart open, if you're here and you'd say, Craig, would you include me in a prayer that I could know God for myself, that I could receive the love that you're talking about, that I could exchange my old for his new. If you're here and you'd love me to pray with you so that I know who I'm praying for and so you can respond, could you just take a moment right now just to simply lift your hand and say, Craig, include me in that prayer. I would love to know God for myself. I would love to know his forgiveness. That's awesome. Keep putting your hands up. Fantastic. Somebody else say, yeah, that's me. I need to know that grace. I need to know his love. I need to know his forgiveness. If you're online and this is a moment for you as well, then just pray this with all of your heart. We're all going to pray this together. And it's a moment that changes everything. Come on, every person, let's pray this together. Say, dear Jesus, today I open my heart to you. And I thank you that you took responsibility for my salvation. That I today can be set free, made whole, brand new from the inside out. I declare, with your help, that I will live with you and for you. Because I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I would have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. in your mighty name. Amen. Come on, everyone. Can we celebrate? Honor.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.